This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's Friday.
Welcome to Friday, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and thank you for joining us during your noon hour to learn about local things, legislative things, marrying Polk County, all that good stuff that Rush doesn't have a chance to talk about.
Heck no.
Right, he's too busy with the national stuff.
That's so right.
If you're listening to Rush, we want to thank you for sticking with us up at the top of the hour. You're listening to Newsmakers. We're going to talk about things happening at the legislature. They are going to provide a lot of fodder for talk in the next 30 days. As this session winds, it's going to be fast and furious. If you thought we needed to watch our pocketbooks for the first 5 months of this year, wait till you see what happens in the last month of this legislative session. So many things. Monumental things.
How many laws have passed?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I try not to be too much of a junkie about it. I want to talk about the public policy things that really affect our lives. And how much money we take home and how much money we have available to pay our bills and raise our kids.
Right.
Those kinds of things, and also personal freedoms and anything that they want to restrict in that regard. And
like straws, plastic bags.
Straws.
Yeah, what's up with the straw thing?
I love the straw thing because here, the proposal is to kind of ban, you know, the headline is to ban plastic straws.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really, because nobody would really like that. So you can have a plastic straw at a restaurant.
But you have to ask for it.
You have to ask for it. And, of course, at caregiving environments, then they can provide straws.
Because they have to have those bendable ones.
So yeah, there's an exception. And, you know, so you can have them at restaurants. And it's like...
But you have to ask for it.
So they're not banned.
Right.
But they want to make the Save the Earth people... feel as though they have done something.
A little appeasement.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. All right. It's your money kicker.
Oh, it's your money kicker.
We got to talk about it. Sorry. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but now there's a new proposal from the governor, again, trying to say, well, you know, maybe here's some good things we could do with this kicker money instead of give it back to the people who paid it in.
It's our money.
It is our money. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
There's total disconnect.
Anytime there's a pile of money, you know, you're like, oh, what could I do with that? You buy a lottery ticket, you know, and I go, well, what could I do with that?
Oh, I found $5 in my pocket. What should I do with that?
Yeah, we got this big tax return or something. What could I do with that? Well, right now, Governor Brown, people are thinking, what can I do with my kicker check?
Right.
Right? Can I buy a piece of furniture? Can I take a weekend at the coast? Can I pay down some debt?
Yes.
Personal debt. Can I do all of these things with my money, my kicker check, when you give it to me?
Yes.
As the Constitution requires you to.
That $1,000 cap that she wants to put on it, definitely going to hit the upper echelon of income earners in Oregon.
I almost laughed and said people who made less than like $55,000.
Yeah, it won't affect you.
Yeah, they won't affect all those. Okay. And those, of course, she said, we'll send out the little checks, right?
To the little people.
They didn't pay that much in taxes to begin with because they're not really high-income households.
Right. To the little people.
And it's little checks, so I'll give up the little checks. But I want most of the big checks.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just the presumption that I know better what to do with this money, and there's so many things I want to do with the taxpayers' money, so therefore I need to find a way that I can politically get this passed so that we don't have to give the money back to the people who own it.
You know what it is? They're trying to cover their butt with PERS.
That's part of it.
It is a part of it, and it came up last night on the news.
So about 331,000 Oregonians, 300,000, would have their kicker check reduced due to her proposal.
$1,000.
All right. So keep in mind, folks, that she can't do this on her own. She needs the legislature to do it, and she needs Republicans in the legislature to help her.
How about the people? Don't we get a vote?
Yeah, you did vote, and we put brackets on it. We voted.
We did?
Yeah. We put brackets on it, and the brackets are that the legislature has to pass it by 2/3, which is bigger than the legislative supermajority, 60%.
Thank God.
That's why, even though the Democrats have a supermajority in both houses, in the Senate and the House, They can't. They need more than a supermajority. They need 2/3. And to do that, they need Republican votes.
Okay.
So she, and this is the horse trading thing that we find so distasteful in politics. She's like, well, let's throw a bone to Eastern Oregon or to rural Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw a bone to rural Oregon and, you know, shave off some money from the kicker, spend it on them so we can get their lawmakers' vote. Carl Wilson of Grants Pass, I got a message for you. Hold fast. Representative Carl Wilson of Grants Pass, quote, I don't think it's a good idea. Once again, people look at that as their money, and they want that back.
Because it is our money.
He's a Republican legislator from Grants Pass. Carl Wilson, thank you for that. He has been previously quoted as saying, oh, well, this is, you know, this is sacred on the Republican in the Republican caucus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, thank you for looking after what we want to do with our money. Not what potentially good works the government could do. Even if I agree with how Governor Brown wants to spend it, this is not money that I agree is available to her.
It's not. It's mine. It's coming back to us. And
this,
yours.
I feel like a broken record, which is a phrase I found amusing because no one really knows what that is. I mean, you and I are old enough to know what it sounds like when a record skips, you know. And
I could bring that back up again for you. I'd have to install one right here, but
last couple of generations woke up with CDs and then, you know, digital
and
music.
Digital.
Like, so everybody uses the phrase, but does anybody really know what that sounds like?
Yes.
All right.
It
sound like a broken
over and over and over again. That's what happens when you get a scratch in a record. It's called a broken record because it goes over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
How many times can we say it?
Apparently, not enough.
A billion?
So Brown says... Governor Brown,
mm-hmm.
She describes her idea as a measure to stimulate rural Oregon's economy. This is another thing that triggers me. Rural Oregon's economy and add jobs.
Are they having a problem over there?
She says those communities haven't fully recovered from the Great Recession. I want to thank Salem Reporter, by the way. Become a subscriber because we need this kind of journalism in our community.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And there are partners at KYKN, but that's a personal plea because I love reading the Salem Reporter. And I love
in-depth stuff.
And an alternative to the Statesman Journal, the Gannett, you know, conglomerate local
mm-hmm.
paper.
Right.
All right. So here's my reaction to that. She says these communities haven't fully recovered from the Great Recession. Well, how about letting them use their timber?
Right.
How about letting them use the water?
Mm-hmm.
How about promoting agriculture in Northeast Oregon with water out of the Columbia like the Washington side of the river uses?
Right.
How about some of those things? How about removing some of the impediments and regulations that keep their economy from thriving? It's like, oh, but let's do these government investments in their area, these one-time spends, and that's going to make the world all rosy. Wow, people we need to start electing more people with business degrees and economics degrees, right?
Who understand.
Oh, my gosh. Get rid of investment.
Get rid of the regulations. I call it red tape. To stimulate their economy. Their economy's booming.
So the House Speaker, Tina Kotek, she has, a couple of weeks ago, she was saying, well, we could keep half of it and spend it on transportation projects, which didn't really fly.
We need to talk to her again.
Did not really fly with the governor too much because those transportation projects, you know, where are they going to be spent?
Portland.
Portland.
That's it.
And they're going to spend on the west side, and that's not going to fly east of the Cascades. So let me go back to Representative Wilson. I think everyone's a little bit concerned about it. He said, sounds nice. The goal seems good, but I don't think it matters. I think it doesn't matter whether you're from up north or down south. People still want their kickers.
Right.
Wow. It's just, I really wish it weren't so stereotypical, folks. Yeah. I mean, can we please pretend that there's not a religion amongst the Democrats that there has to be government money and the government should be spending your money?
Right.
It's like, could we have one Democrat that say, no, the kickers doesn't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for more government services. I'm all for blah, blah, blah. I'm all for budget increases, but this is not our money. Could we have one Democrat please stand up and say that?
Right.
I don't get it. Come on, people.
Can we throw this guy
it's
a party?
Kicker.
What's his name?
Carl Wilson.
Representative Carl Wilson.
Yes. Grants Pass, Republican from Grants Pass.
I need to drive down there this weekend and give him a party.
I go to Grants Pass several times a year. I'll have to go down and track out his office.
Go down there. Throw him a party. Bring him a bottle of champagne.
Speaking of Democrats, a lot of us are represented by Democrats. Send them an email, folks. Send them a, give them a message. Talk to his legislative aide. Tell them you want your kicker.
I want my money back.
That's how it works, folks, because they're a legislative aide. They'll have a tech, they'll have a tally, and they're going to check off how many calls did we get on this issue? Mm-hmm. How many calls and how many are yay? How many are nay? And if you want your voice heard, look it up. We got Uncle Google to help us. It's so easy. Email them, phone call them, say, don't touch my kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right there. It will be really interesting to see the races if any Republicans flip and say, no, let's spend the kicker on rural Oregon. Let's spend the kicker on buying down PERS debt and so on and so forth. All right, you want to take a break?
Yes.
Because there's more.
There's more
coming out of Kevin Brown's office and the legislature. You're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart. With me is Dave Vorn, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Hamlin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Vorn. We have things happening at the legislature. PERS again, except I want to ratchet down local again a little bit for this segment because we are going to talk to the volcanoes today, and we are going to talk with one of our companies investing in South Salem with the new facility in Battle Creek. So do want to take a little bit of time and talk about a recent article having to do with a grant program in downtown Salem having to do with security against criminals. Now, the article is based on the homeless, and they're tying it to the homeless issue.
Okay.
But before the conversation's up, we're going to try to make a distinction so we don't just lump it in and let somebody... let me just get to it.
Okay.
All right, so...
I'm thoroughly confused.
How's that for a confusing setup, folks?
That is a confusing
one. All right, so
one.
The City of Salem, they used the Urban Renewal Agency of the City of Salem, right?
Okay.
Same folks making the decision, but they set aside some money for a grant program for downtown businesses that have been impacted by crime and or homeless.
Okay.
For security measures. So they were able to, they carved off $100,000 and people could, business owners, property owners could apply for grants. So featured in the article is Q's Corner Barbershop that bought some security lights and really lit up his parking lot. And other companies are doing fencing, making security improvements, enclosures for garbage areas, again, security lighting, cameras, things like that to help deter or capture people who are causing vandalism and reduction of safety in our downtown core. Right, your downtown core, you can't give up safety, or you might as well just give up your downtown core. They set aside $100,000. They've already issued grants, I think, over $90,000 worth already. $98,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So the staff is asking to approve another $75,000 because it's become a very popular grant program, and people are taking advantage of it. So people are securing bids. They're getting ready to submit an application, and so their staff supporting giving more money. So let's see, an office building applied for almost $10,000 for a wrought iron fence in one of his alleys.
Wow.
Representative said, we've been working with the neighboring property owner and the city to install a gate and install lighting in the alleyway, close it off, and make it safer and less of an attraction from the homeless community to find shelter in. Okay, this is tied with the homeless and where they have opportunities to sleep and where they're choosing to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And there was concern about employees that work in the building. And here's the quote. It's from AJ Nash. He's a broker at Legacy Real Estate. Well, when the employees went out to the alleyway to throw away the garbage, there's consistently feces they were stepping over. That's so disgusting. I don't even want to talk about it on the radio.
Wow.
There were people in the alleyway, most of the females and even some of the males. They just didn't feel safe. How are you going to get people to invest in your downtown core when your employees there don't want to work there because they don't feel safe and they have to walk over feces to take, the trash out or to get to the parking lot or to, they don't feel safe getting to the parking lot to get to their car and come to work and go home.
Wow.
So thank you, Urban Renewal Agency. Thanks for the grant program. Obviously, there's a need. right? And it shows that this is really impacting people. And another thing that struck me about it when we were talking about Q's Corner Barbershop is he's calling the police like twice a week.
Wow.
Well, he's calling the police like twice a week. You know, there's fights or there's, you know, loitering or all those kinds of activities. He said it didn't used to be that bad. It used to be maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so something needs to be done.
Right.
Right. And fortunately, the lights have really helped him and really, good. Really brightened it up.
They need automatic sprinklers, too.
All right.
Just to clean up the sidewalks.
And now I'm going to circle around to the point I was not able to make when I started talking about this. Carol Smith, downtown property owner.
Yeah.
Carol Smith. Our own city's most divisive and, I don't know how to describe her, most divisive force of downtown, cohesiveness and progress. But she owns a property on Court Street. She hired a security guard last week. One of her tenants was assaulted by someone sleeping in the driveway.
Wow.
Right? She decided not going to apply for a grant because, her quote, "Explain to me how security cameras help and gates help the homeless. We don't want to live in a prison." Okay. The money is not to help the homeless.
No.
The money is to help people protect the innocent. And it doesn't matter if they're homeless, Carol Smith. It doesn't matter if they're homeless or if they're not, if they're a criminal and they're assaulting your residents. The money's not there. It's not help the homeless money. There are different programs for that.
Right.
It's like, it's one of those things where people can say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that because you aren't feeding the homeless, or you shouldn't be paving the street because you don't have enough park improvements. It's like, they're different. They don't relate. They can't cross them. And some people go so far as to think, well, the state hasn't done this, so the city shouldn't spend money. It's just, get it right, folks. Carol Smith should know better. She said she felt the city money would be better spent on housing, drug treatment, mental health services.
His head
that
just
is
exploded.
A massive part of my brain cells just exploded. We hear that over and over again. Is there a need to spend money on housing, drug treatment, and mental health services? Yeah. Advocate for that. Advocate it out of the budgets that can be spent on that.
Right.
This money is urban renewal money. She's been around long enough. She's been through the system long enough. She's been inside the system long enough. She should know better. This money can't be spent on social programs.
Right.
Oh, we should spend it on this and that. Let's move towards helping people rather than protecting ourselves from them. That's a waste of money. I'm sorry. Number one goal of my government is public safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
Public safety and infrastructure. If we're not safe downtown, Carol Smith, no one wants to be downtown.
That's right.
I understand you apparently have a big heart for the homeless and their plight and their needs, right? And
right.
The human services that they require. That doesn't mean that everybody else should feel unsafe.
I like walking around in a well-lit downtown where I feel safe.
It's a disconnect.
Yeah, totally.
Those things, they don't relate, Carol Smith. Please just go away. It's like, oh, and I think the money should be, you know, how is fences and security cameras? And you know what? The homeless, that's what the distinction I was trying to make at the top of the segment is. We're not talking about people who are down on their luck. We're not talking people who are unfortunately homeless.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a criminal element that is in the downtown core.
That hides in the homeless.
That may be in the homeless community. You know, homeless.
I think they hide
ranks.
In the homeless.
Yeah.
I think they do.
Or maybe they're not homeless, but they're still taking the opportunity of lax security downtown.
Yeah.
So it might be homeless. It might be. It doesn't matter. But what we're talking about is criminals who are breaking the law, violating people's rights, and depreciating property values.
Sure, because nobody wants to be there.
Yeah, and pretty soon, you know, it's not just going to be employees. It's going to be the shoppers that don't want to go downtown. The investors don't want to go downtown. And then you don't have a downtown. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep it safe, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, Urban Renewal Agency, thanks for the money. Staff of the Urban Renewal Agency, Urban Renewal Agency Board, which is the same people who are in City Council, mind you.
Oh, okay.
It's the exact same nine votes.
So we can applaud them for that.
Yes. Yeah, we can thank them for that.
Instead of slamming them like we do.
Staff sees a need, created a program for a solution, executed it, very popular, it was in demand, and they're asking for more money.
Okay.
You know, they've done a lot of things like that in the past with the downtown core, and that's how they use that money. They used it to help, you know, provide outlets and water spigots downtown so there could be more decorations. There could be more flowers. There could be more Christmas and holiday decorations. They do it to help people improve their awnings and the fascia of their business so downtown looks really great.
Are they going to put in, like, public bathrooms too?
You know, that's also always controversial.
Right? Yeah, it is.
I have not heard about that initiative
there
lately.
Needs to be, though.
It's been a long time, but... yeah, there's security reasons. It's security issues with that as well, because
sure, but
you don't want to step over feces on the way into your professional office building.
True, but I mean, yeah,
or in the elevator in the parking garages, and the security of the parking garages is another big deal. And that, you know, the parking garages goes into, should parking be free? It's not free to maintain those parking garages. So they need to remain safe and policed and cleaned and all of those things, and maintained. It's spending.
Sure.
And we're spending it. The government's spending our money to do it, but everybody gets to park without putting the quarters in the machine.
For now.
For now. Anyway, that's in the news. I think we'll wrap around. We'll come back on Monday with a lot of the legislative news and talk about that. We've got a couple of guests coming up, so why don't you stick with us? You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. On this Friday, we are all over the board. We're talking about the governor and wanting to keep your kicker money. We're talking about downtown Salem and efforts to keep businesses and their residents downtown. And
there's more people moving in, too.
Safe.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about investments in the community, new things happening in the community, people who are building something bright and shiny, right? So with us in studio, we've got Naomi, and she is going to talk about Boone Ridge Senior Living. Naomi Tillery, we've had her before. And
we
were talking about your grand opening just a couple of weeks ago, right? Just told us during the break, 500 people showed up.
Yeah,
it's like,
awesome.
It has to do with KYKN, obviously.
Totally.
The impact in the community of KYKN and Newsmakers.
Right.
Everybody went down to check out Boone Ridge.
Thanks, guys.
And so obviously you got a lot of people in with your efforts throughout the committee community and want to come out and see the investment. I always like to see what people are investing in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what, even if in a segment, even like serving our seniors, which is a growing economic sector, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the demand is there. Still, somebody's taking a risk, an individual, a corporation, and the bank that lends on it. Everybody's taking a risk to build this thing on the promise that it'll work. And we should never take that for granted, folks.
Right.
When people make money, it's because they risked what their family had.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
If it's a small business in a community. So we like to spotlight people investing in the community. And, you know, if you're on the other side of the aisle, like we were talking about last segment, no, two segments ago, hey, it's tax revenue. Because when they invest, they're promising to pay property taxes on those new improvements. So that property was there. It was undeveloped.
Yep.
And now there's a brand new shiny facility in Boone Ridge Senior Living. Naomi, thanks for being here. How's things going?
Things are going great. We're keeping busy. We're continuously moving folks in. Just continuing to grow and just to, you know, let people know that we're here in Salem, you know, and what our mission here in Salem is, and kind of really wanting to change the way that we view senior living. So I think that our owner, Doug Sproul, has done a great job at laying the foundation. You know, it's a gentleman who has a great passion for seniors and getting to that stage of life to, you know, have the best and not just the best as far as, like you said, shiny, that's great, but really the best quality care that they deserve. I mean, they've earned it. And so, you know, when you walk into Boone, you clearly just feel like you just walked into your home, you know, and it's, you know, I like to say that many hands went into building Boone Ridge, many, many hands, but the staff there, from management all the way down to care staff, dietary. It's their hearts that make it a home for everybody.
It's so true. And I look at caregivers, and Naomi, you might have missed it if you didn't listen to every minute of Newsmakers this week. But on Tuesday, I did share a personal story with the listener that my mother moved in just this Tuesday into a memory care facility out of state.
Okay, just checking.
Just, yeah. No.
I mean, we have a chat off air about
it. Oh, was one of my competitors. Now, out of state. I got to throw that. But it's a very emotional time.
For sure.
And the people who are caregivers for the seniors, especially people who have been afflicted with dementia and Alzheimer's, people who've been compromised and need assisted living, medical, emotional support, physical support, spiritual support, all of those things. The people that care for them, wow.
Special people.
I am in awe. A very good friend of our family does it and maintains a home for people and just the biggest caring hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need. You don't need that more than you need skills is how much you care for those people. It's, and that makes all the difference.
It's not, and that's what, you know, when we have these conversations, we tell caregivers, you know, we need caregivers for all across the board, whether you're a caregiver for a child or, you know, caregiver, you know, for a mentally disabled, you know, person. But when you get to this stage of things too, especially when you're dealing with dementia, it's not a job. It's a calling. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to do it with your heart, because when you do it with passion, you do it with heart, there's going to be a lot of days up and down. And we talk about the emotions. There's emotions for the person with dementia. Then there's the emotions of the caregiver, the family, just, you know, kind of all the way around. And so you really have to have the heart and the calling to do it.
Yeah, and you've got family members all across the board suffering themselves with their own sense of grief or loss or, you know, freedom if they're being relieved from relief from the goal of being a caregiver. A lot of people have been for a long time, and a lot of my friends have done it. Just saw an article this week about the sandwich generation, and so many of us are in the sandwich generation where we have at least one parent that we're caring for and at least one child at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to say, it's a great – I mean, I don't have that gift. Right. So I'm like, thank God for you. Thank God. I don't have it. It is a spiritual gift. It's enumerated in the Bible to have patience, to have kind, and to have a servant's heart.
You clearly know your lane, Brent. You know your lane. That's good.
I'm good at a number of things. And if they require a great deal of patience, then maybe not so much.
Not so much. Yeah.
But I know that people that work for you and work with you, they are going to have to deal with family members in heightened sense of emotion, you know, in difficult times.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in the day-to-day with people whose lives are diminished.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because this morning, you know, at a networking meeting, I came across a young gal who's caring for her mom, and she didn't recognize exactly all that this was. Like, this has been eye-opening for her. And she said, you know, I need to you know, take some classes on caregiving and, you know, because she just doesn't, I mean, you didn't sign up for this, right?
Right.
And so I said, you know, I'm going to put you in touch with some people that do some training for, especially for family members who are going to be providing the care. And she legitimately broke down in tears and thanks, because that's all she needed, to feel that support, to know that there's people out there to help guide her, because she feels very alone and very isolating. That's the other part of this, is that people caring for those loved ones, especially in the home, they start to feel isolated.
Yeah.
And overwhelmed, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's spotlight Boone Ridge a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's two different sections. I know there's a memory care unit. It's one of the reasons it prompted my little talk there. There's memory, and there's about 50 people that can live there, right?
48.
48 people. Mm-hmm. So you have apartments or living quarters
for those.
48
apartments on memory and 90 on the assisted living side.
So are there, and then there's obviously there's caregivers, and there's activities.
There's activities.
Through directors, and
I mean, it's a full-on machine over there, really. You have a chef, you have a baker, we have an open dining concept, which is, you know, very rare. Actually, I don't know of anyone else doing this concept right now. And it, just for anyone listening, open dining is basically like walking into a restaurant, right? You and I can walk into a restaurant any time of day, sit down, order off the menu. It doesn't matter when, right? Mm-hmm. Most times in especially independent living and even assisted living, there's meal times.
Right.
So meal times at noon or meal times at, you know, 4. If you're a 6 o'clock eater, and right. dinner's at 4 in the building, you're screwed. Sorry, can you say that?
Yes, you can okay. say that. a little late now.
But you know, you can't. And so we've allowed it to where you can maintain your lifestyle that you have. If you're a 6 o'clock eater, go in at 6 o'clock, order your meal. If you're a 9 o'clock breakfast eater, eat at 9. So it's a restaurant wow. style. It's kind of have that restaurant style feel of, so that we call it open dining, which is what I love. And the other piece of, while we are a licensed building, we consider ourselves an active retirement community. And what that means is someone could come live in our building independently with the peace of mind that if they were to, we all face it, that they fall, right? Mm-hmm. That there is licensed clinical staff on hand to address that. Whereas most independent livings, if you fall, unfortunately, it's just the way it is, they cannot help you. They don't have the staff, the licensed care staff. They don't have that kind of backing behind them, so they have to call 911. Mm. And we know for seniors, that's a traumatic thing. Oh, yeah. Get in the thing, you know. And so that's probably one of my favorite things about this building is that you can come live in the building. Not you. I mean, mm-hmm. you could come, Brent. I mean, live.
Is there an age limit? Because I might be too young.
I almost moved him in last
time. Way too young.
We might fidge a little, but you can come live in an independently and have that peace of mind that if something that a clinical need happens, you don't have to call 911 to go deal with it.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. It's a huge difference. And it just lights me up every time I get to talk about that piece because having been in this industry for as long as I have, you know, been in so many buildings and different platforms, it's something to be very excited about.
So what is the age restriction?
I believe in this building it's 60, is it 65?
65 and over?
I believe.
I have to wait 10 years to put you in there?
10 years, what?
Yeah,
he's not making that up. As my friends well know, I am still 39.
Okay, there's no way you're 39 because then I'm like 21.
Well, you don't look a day over 21.
This is the second time in a week I've been called old. Okay, second Friday in a row. Last week it was the Volcano's
That's
owner,
true.
Jerry Walker.
Jerry Walker called him old.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Brutal.
Wow.
This is brutal.
That is brutal.
The work conditions here at KYKN are very, very difficult.
It was just honesty. That's what it was, honesty.
A little bit of love.
All right, we're talking to Naomi Tillery. She works at Boone Ridge Senior Living. They have a memory care unit, brand new. Everything's brand new, and also assisted living. How many residents live in assisted living?
They can. They have so. There's 90 apartments. So you figure
90.
Yeah, if you can double occupy a lot of those. So, yeah, it depends.
Husband and wife.
Husband and wife, mm-hmm. single. Sure. So we have studio apartments. We have 1-bedroom apartments, and then we had 2-bedroom apartments, which sold out like.
Wow.
Done. They were the first ones to sell out. So then the 1-bedrooms. And so I believe there's some studios left.
So if people wanted to see it, can they drop in and get a tour? Do you call up and get a tour?
You can do both. If you have a day that you specifically want, absolutely call us and we'll give you a tour. And if you want to just pop in, we'll take you.
Okay.
So folks, this is on Boone Road, hence the name.
Boone Ridge?
Yeah, just south of Kubler. Just south of Kubler over by the I-5 interchange. If you have not been there, look for it as you drive by. And it's close to where Costco will eventually prevail and move their property, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that story.
And so it's close to there off of Kubler, just a block south of there. And like I said, it's close to the I-5 interchange. So pretty convenient to get to mm-hmm. for people to visit, and they can come down there and see the new facility and see if it's a possibility for their family, for their family members, or for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we would love to show everyone what we're doing up at Boone, and there's more to come.
And it's only $20 to Naomi to come tour the place. You come in and you just slip her a 20.
Times are tough. Let's go to 50.
Wow.
Just kidding. Hey, we got to take a break because we're going to finish our Friday, this beautiful sunny Willamette Valley Friday with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Naomi, thanks for being here. Thanks for the work Boone Ridge is doing to serve our seniors and invest in the community.
Thank you, guys.
All right, stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and this is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. We're finishing up our week here on Newsmakers, and we're going to talk a little bit about Volcanoes baseball. We're going to have Mitch Graff with us, joining us on the phone here in a minute.
Hopefully, sure.
However, I want to take the opportunity that we have with a couple seconds here to say, hey, good luck, Beavers.
Right.
Beavers are entering the postseason NCAA baseball tonight. They're hosting the regional, and it'll be a best of, well, there'll be four. So it's a double elimination tournament. So there's four teams coming to Corvallis, including the Beavers. And every team that loses twice, they're out. And the last team standing goes on to a super regional. So Cincinnati's their first game tonight. They can end up in the winner's bracket by taking care of business tonight in Corvallis at Gus Field.
It's not their first rodeo.
No.
They've been there before.
And Ashley Rutschman, am I pronouncing that right? Ashley, the catcher, he's unbelievable. He's giving national accolades and awards, Pac-12 Player of the Year. It's probably the last time we'll have an opportunity to see him in a Beaver uniform.
Oh,
you know, I don't.
You know, when talent sprouts.
Yeah, he's having an incredible year.
You get recruited
just to watch him play. And last year in the postseason, the Beavers were so exciting, and he was a big part of that. I mean, catches he was making, and plays, and defense, and of course at the bat. So, congratulations to Oregon State Beavers reaching the postseason. It was a little concerning last year. Of course, they're defending national champs, but they graduated so many great players. So kind of like, oh, well, can they get there again? You know, they lost some pitchers to graduation and so forth. And I just, boy, it's going to be tough in 2019. But here we are with the chance to go to Super Regional if we can win in this tournament this weekend. I did want to mention, since we're talking about the Volcanoes, as we finish each Friday this springtime in anticipation of opening day, just a couple weeks from now. Right, and I also can't wait for the draft. As you have an opportunity, I was going to talk to Mitch about it, but we've kind of lost him. You can buy ticket packages.
Yes, you can.
You can buy, I don't know what the numbers are, but if you want to go to five games this summer, go to five games. There are 80 games.
And 82.
82 games, so 40 at Salem Kaiser.
Yeah.
If you want to go five, go to five. If you want to go 10, go to 10. But you can go and buy a ticket package and go, and then every time you go, you can try something different that is new to eat at Salem Kaiser Volcano Stadium.
And you can buy different
at
seats.
At the crater.
How about that?
At the crater.
Right.
You should just call it the crater rather than just calling it a stadium. All right. Well, we don't have Mitch with us. Maybe he'll join us. I guess I've got a few minutes to talk a little bit about. We were talking earlier in the hour about PERS reform. And this was an interesting twist and an amusement in a tragic sort of way, but it was the Democrats that voted on a bill to amend, to change the Oregon State Retirement System, affectionately known as PERS.
They haven't changed it yet?
Well, there's always tweaks and reforms and alterations that can be done that are floated and so on and so forth. This one would basically, and it's so complex, but let's try to hit two things before our hour is up. One of them, that they're basically refinancing. If you take your house and you have a 20-year mortgage and you refinance it into a 25-year mortgage, right? Now you're going to pay off your house in 25 years, right? Your payments are going to go down, but it won't be paid off for 25 years. That, in effect, is what they're doing with the unfunded $26 billion, is they're stretching out how many years they're going to take to get it back, that bucket of money, back to full. Okay? So that's a little uncomfortable and distasteful to people, especially a fiscal conservative. And it's like some people said, it's such a hardship on the cities and on the school districts and so forth that pay 25% of their payroll into this PERS to try to get paid off in 20 years. So the concept is that, well, we're going to stretch out the timeline. You know, we're going to.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's only a couple of years, mind you, but it does make a substantial difference in terms of how much more the participating municipalities and school districts have to pay into the thing.
All right. If it's lowering their payment for a couple more years, it's not too bad. But they've made adjustments to the PERS so that new employees are paying into their own pension now, right? Please tell me they've done that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Anybody who's being hired now. I mean, there are three different kinds. There's three classifications of people.
Tier one, two, and three?
Yeah, three. They don't even call it PERS anymore. They have a completely different name
for
that.
No, it's tier.
Tier one, tier two, and, well, this is all you get.
Right? That's kind of like where I'm at.
So in this proposal, it would cap the amount of money that uses to calculate the benefits.
Uh-huh.
So if you make more than $195,000, they're still only going to calculate your benefit on $195,000.
That's such a dream.
Yeah. So that sounds like a really good idea. And I immediately started thinking about it because Dave Bourne and I, just a couple of weeks ago, looked at the list of who's getting the huge PERS checks.
They're
retired. And most of them were specialist doctors or maybe ran a department at Oregon Health Sciences University.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to attract the best and the brightest to OHSU if their retirement is based on $195,000 of salary when they could go to Mayo Clinic or they could go to University of Washington Med School or they can go to USC and have very rich packages? So that's over one concern I have, $1.5 million a year. But I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the capped amount of money and refinance the debt effectively. And the third thing is now their pension. There's two components to the plan, to the retirement plan. One is a traditional pension. And a pension means you get a check every month for as long as you live. And in many cases, as long as you live and your spouse lives.
Well, that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah. Yes. And if you don't have a pension, oh boy, you get to retirement, you're going to wish you did. So that's one component. And it's the PERS pension component that has the shortfall and that most people think is, you know, overpromised to people. So there's the pension component, and then there's the, it's called a defined contribution component, but it's the component. It's basically like everyone's 401k. It's like everyone's in the private sector, your 401k, your IRA, you're putting money away before the tax man gets it, and you're letting it grow, and it's for retirement. So the public employee retirement system has both of those elements. It's one of the things the Republicans have been saying is you need to pick one or the other.
Right.
Stop offering both.
Yeah.
So under this bill that just passed, and one of the unusual things about it, I did mention, is like it failed on the floor. It failed on the House floor by a couple of votes. So the House Speaker had to basically call a recess, go over and lobby in the corner, come back and vote again, and and flipped two votes.
Wow.
Yeah. That doesn't usually happen. They know the votes before, you know, it goes. So... anyway, that was somewhat amusing, actually. I mean, things don't go exactly as planned and as choreographed out by the Speaker or the Senate President. I find that somewhat amusing. So, yeah, it went down. She had to go, and I don't know what kind of horse trading took place. But got two more votes.
They seemed to be good at it.
And they were Democrats.
Mm.
All right, so the other big thing. Oh, we got to go?
Yeah, I told you.
Oh, man. Well, let's talk about it on Monday.
Okay.
Everybody have a fantastic weekend.
Bye.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.